G'day all you legends and welcome to the Wednesday Pot Noodle by Celtic Down Under. I'm your host Jared and joining me tonight is Shane and Johnny. How are you, Shane?
Good, thanks, Jared. Good. You could even say feeling champion. I know I've used that line before, but no, feeling really good. Oh, I had to go there. No, doing really well, mate. Doing really well.
Thanks for hosting last week while I was away, Shane. I appreciate it.
Pleasure.
And Johnny, how are you?
I'm good, Jared. Very good. I have to say it's finally getting a bit bitter cold here in Queensland. I was out playing playing golf with a couple of friends last night and it was, honestly, just a t-shirt and it was, I needed a jumper, I needed hats and gloves and I got into the car at the end of the day and I looked at the thermometer and it was a massive 15 degrees and I was chittering. Can't believe it. I finally acclimatized. So
you're officially a Queenslander now, Johnny.
Officially a Queenslander. I needed a full winter gear. It was incredible.
Yeah. Willie will be with us a bit later on in the pod. He's just having some technical difficulties with the camera working. So you get all missing out on seeing his magnificent face. So he'll be on when he can. I had to say that there just to get a reaction from him. So we'll see what he says later on. But yeah, we're just going to crack on this podcast. It's going to be a shorter, quicker one tonight. So, look, we've got the overall chat about the 5-0 win on trophy day against Aberdeen. My view of that, I haven't seen the whole game in its entirety. I've seen the first 45 minutes. I've seen the first half. Then I've had seen highlights here, and then I've seen the second half there. So I haven't actually seen it full 90 minutes start to finish, so I don't really want to comment too much on it. So, Shane, just give us your general overview on the game.
General overview really was that it was a champion performance from a champion team. It was a fitting performance for the occasion. I thought from the opening whistle we looked on and we just looked like we were going to just dominate and play our way and, play how we usually expect us to play. And we really did. I thought it was probably the best we played for a little while at any stage, but also probably the most consistent 90 minutes we played for a little while as well. We looked excellent. And I know Aberdeen, locked up third, may not have had an awful lot to play for, but they're still a decent opposition. And, I thought we played really, really well and it was very pleasing. And like I said, fitting of the occasion. And, I won't comment on all of the goals. I thought Kyogo's first goal was just a fantastic bit of build-up play and a lovely quality finish from a quality striker. But then, the one thing I really wanted to comment on was just more of having a fit GT and AJ in the lineup, and particularly AJ, just having him back. He provides an energy and a combativeness that I think was really missing when he was out. So having all those pieces of the puzzle together, I think also helped contribute to what was a very good performance from start to finish.
Just on that, where you're saying about having AJ back and everything was the combativeness, I think a lot of people underlook the steel that Greg Taylor gives us on the left side as well. I think he's very underrated with that, but he's not afraid to leave a foot in. He's not afraid to smack someone. And considering he's pretty small, it's, I think having those two back in, having both of them out while also having Carter Vickers out, it's taken a lot of the steel out of our back line. Yep. So suddenly having two of those three guys back in has sorted out a little bit, and also with the inverting of the fullbacks, it also makes us a bit stronger in the middle of the park as well. But John, we'll throw to you with your take on it.
Yeah, well, I have to also admit that although I have watched the 90 minutes now, I watched it very in blocks actually because I committed one of the relationship faux pas, which is I was out with the missus at a concert. We were out watching a gig. And I very quickly maybe watched the game on my phone. So I got in trouble for doing that, watching, I don't know, 35 minutes of it on my phone. So from what I can remember, piece all my memories together, I thought very much like Shane, I thought it was just a champion performance. It was fantastic. We was back to our old ways. And I think lots of people have talked about it, but it very much highlights the depth in our squad and the change and everything. And we've kind of gone back to the sort of fairly similar starting 11 that we sort of expect to see. And the performance was just night and day, to be honest. It just seemed more flowing. It's the passing was far more direct and sort of penetrated their back five and stuff. And yeah, it was overall fantastic performance. Dot Kyogo, the 45 minutes he played was fantastic. I thought Jota had a big new life in him and stuff. And I just thought it was overall a fantastic performance. Obviously AJ and Kyogo going off is a little bit of a worry. I don't know. I haven't personally looked into what their injury status is, but I'm hoping it's just cautionary for the cup final and stuff. Definitely seemed like Kyogo sort of hyperflexed his knee, which can be a sore one, even if it's not much in it. Like, you can definitely bruise ligaments and muscle and stuff if you do it too much. But hopefully it's just nothing and it's just he's taking off cautionary and stuff. And I thought exactly the same. I thought Awata is actually quite good for filling in for a centre-back, which is good to see. I think we all kind of are a little bit disparaging sometimes when players can play in more than one position, but it seems to be maybe something Ange is a little bit happy with is having, you know, players that can sometimes play in more than one position.
That's something I was going to bring up, John, and you just jumped right into it. So it's like we're on the same wavelength.
There we are. That's it. It's almost like we're all watching the same team. It was a good performance. I thought people like O'Reilly were back to sort of former heights and stuff as well. So and good result. 5-0 beating any team is brilliant to see. Doesn't really matter about anything else. Like this, I think that handball sort of claiming it was on the shoulder was a bit of a weird one. Semantics, I guess, but I thought it was very marginal. Ref was very quick to say it hit the shoulder, and I'm just like, I think that was a little bit lower down, but there you go. 5-0, I can't really complain.
So what I was saying before, John, about it's on the same wavelength sort of thing, right? I think a lot of us are scarred because of the whole Bitton situation where you play mid, and he's like seems a little lackadaisical and a bit slow there. Then you play him at centre back and he's got the height and everything, but he doesn't have the physicality for it. It's kind of like, I know, it's just like, I think a lot of us, you see Awada, who every game he played for us until the last couple was a midfield, and then you see him thrown in at centre back and you're just like, oh no. And then he makes one mistake and it just becomes that pile on, like we copped early doors with Starfelt, man, mistake, and people have been on his case ever since. So it's like, for me, I know Ange loves that versatility. He's always had it in his teams, whether it was in the Socceroos, Brisbane Roar, Melbourne Victory, South Melbourne. He had it over in Japan. He had it. He's got it at Celtic. He likes guys who can play multiple positions. So it's a good thing to have, and it's come in handy, all considered, because after the weekend just gone, if you had to play Stephen Welsh at centre-back in the cup final or Awada, who are you going to feel more confident in at the moment? When considering Welsh hasn't played any games in a long time, or Kobayashi, who knows what's going on there, is Awada, who won the J-League Player of the Year, playing at centre-back. Does he make you feel more at ease now after seeing what he's done on the weekend compared to those other options we've got? What do you think on that, Shane?
I think you'd back Awada in now, to be honest. I wouldn't be too dismissive of Kobayashi if he wanted to give him a go and throw him in. I don't think it's outside the possibility that Ange might turn back to Kobayashi. I actually think a lot of the discussion around Awata and sort of the discussion around, you know, maybe people were too hard on him initially after that performance against St Mirren, I think, and maybe even Hibs to a degree, I think you can actually put that forward towards Kobayashi as well. Like, we have seen him only sparingly, and in a couple of the games he's performed poorly, they were relatively difficult environments to go to. I feel like you can apply that same logic there. So, look, I'd be backing Awada in at this point in time. I definitely want to go with someone who's played recently and is definitely up to scratch, but I wouldn't be too frustrated if Kobayashi got the nod as well.
And John, we're just talking about that there. What are your thoughts? We'll talk about the actual game on the weekend later in the pod, but who are you? Are you happier with how Awada's playing at centre back?
Well, look, the short answer of it is yes, I am happy with the way he's performing, right? I don't know personally if it's really tough. I would personally put Kobayashi first And that's because I would like Kobayashi to have the opportunity to feel comfortable and strengthened in that position and actually be a headache for Ange later on. We know that Awata is going to get back on the team somehow as a center defensive midfielder, right? So I would rather play Kobayashi in games where we've won the league and you know, and maybe opposition is a bit weaker and all those things, and rather than just making everybody happy, if that makes sense. Like, I think we're Celtic fans can sometimes be quite fickle. If it's not going the exact way that we thought it was, it's like revert back to the old way that we used to do it without much long-term vision and stuff. It's very much about the short term. And that's just because we're a big team. You have to win. You have to win every single game, right? So the short term gets focused on rather than the long term. So I'd rather see Kobayashi. I still want to see Welsh in and around the team. I mean, he's clearly not fitting Ange's system, which is why he's not getting games, but it's a tough one for me. You get Iwata, which is just, you get comfortable with. You like, everyone's like, well, we know he's going to do a good job. And then you got Kobayashi that arguably might do a slightly poorer performance, but we need him to be the longer term solution. So I'm just glad I'm not the manager making that decision, to be honest, because yeah. I get paid $2.5.
For me, I agree with you, John. Like, I like Iwata, that he's versatile and he can do that. But yeah, I think long term, I don't mind Iwata coming in when we had like those three games in a week and Kobayashi hasn't played in ages. Makes sense to have Kobayashi play one, Iwata play one, and then put Kobayashi back in. So for me, I wouldn't have minded that. But at the same time, yeah, Kobayashi is a centre back and it's a left sided centre back, and it's something we haven't had at the club in a long time. And we'd spoke, it was a big deal, like, oh, we finally got one. And then he has one bad game and he's dropped. I know Ange is ruthless like that, and I respect that about the guy. But at the same time, the long-term vision is, if we play Kobayashi all these games through it and he built up a partnership with Starfelt and they did well and we still got all the same results we've had now and we get the cup final on the weekend and then we've got the off-season where Carter Vickers is recovering from surgery, and he's going to be touch and go to be back in time for the start of the season or even the Champions League. Are we going to be signing another guy over the top of Kobayashi now so we can put Iwata back in the midfield? I don't agree with it like that. Like, at the end of the day, we've got to just laughing at Angelo Tyro's comment. We've got to put the I'd rather just Kobayashi get the games at left centre back and build that thing, and then on we go.
The only thing I'd say on that, just to slightly jump in over the top of you, Johnny, look, me personally, I'm happy for Kobayashi to get the gig. I'd be more than happy to see him start. But we are coming into a cup final. Potentially, you know, we can get if all things go to plan, it'll be a treble, right? So there's a little bit of a risk. I guess for me, I'm just looking at the narrative. If worst was to come to worst and Kobayashi comes in and something goes amiss, the criticism that would come for not sticking with Iwata, that's all. So I'm probably looking at, say, I'm happy to settle with or stick with a settled team, but, you know, I can kind of see why people would not want to necessarily you know, bring Kobayashi in at this point. I think if it wasn't a cup final, much different narrative, sorry. But with it being a cup final, I think that kind of makes it a bit more difficult.
Good evening, Willie. Welcome to the podcast. You got through your technical difficulties. How are you?
Yeah. I'm doing all right, guys. Yeah, pretty good. Sorry about that. Computer needed an update that I didn't know about and just totally had a haywire breakdown. So here I am. Yeah.
Saves me 10 minutes at work. I'm always happy for an update. Yeah.
We're just talking, Willie, about the 5-0 win over Aberdeen at the weekend, just talking about, like, we spoke generally over the game, but it was just talking about the Iwata and Kobayashi playing at left centre back. Are you happy with how Iwata's been performing in that position, or would you have rather that Kobayashi got a run of games? What's your thoughts on that?
I would rather Kobayashi got a run of games, but he's come up against some pretty physical guys and might have shattered his confidence a little bit, so it might be better off to just sort of leave Iwata in there and carry on the work with Kobayashi over the summer. Get him in, get a good pre-season under his belt, try and get him to the gym over the summer, try and bulk up a bit in the upper body strength.
Let's get him on that Kieran Tierney diet or the the Ryan Christie diet of just four meals made of chicken every day.
Yeah.
Get on chicken the games, broccoli. As they say, like, you know.
Mickey Moynihan has put in here, a few players will benefit from a full preseason, and that's something that we've got to look at with Kobayashi and Iwata as well. They played pretty much a full season in Japan, then came to us. So,
we saw it with Hatate and that last season, didn't we, with Maeda?
Yep.
And
yeah.
They came to this stage last season, they were blowing at their arse, right? So they were knackered. So it's probably the same with these guys. Like, you know what I mean? That's a season and a half they've played, so...
Get them a few weeks off, get them a break. They can go home on the tour with the team, and yeah, you'll feel better coming into next season. So I'm hoping we see more of the same.
Yeah.
Can I just step in real quick just for one final comment?
No, you can't.
See, I asked so nicely as well. Look, I just wanted to give a quick shout out. So I wandered down to the Melbourne number one CSC to watch the game on the Saturday night. And, look, I'm not going to name everybody because I chatted to quite a few people, but just wanted to give them a shout out and say it was really good chatting to you all, and thoroughly enjoyed watching the game with all of you, and look forward to doing it again sometime. Thanks for being so welcoming.
A good bunch down there. All right, so next topic is James Forrest has got a testimonial game announced for 1st of August. We're playing against Athletic Bilbao. For me, I think that's a well-deserved milestone for Jamesy. Good club serving. He's been at the club for 20 years total when you include his youth career as well. Good standard of competition there as well. So anyone got any comments you want to add to that?
Yeah, look, I think the only thing when it comes to James Forrest is I think he's a highly underrated player. I think when James Forrest plays well, he's unplayable. I mean, for me, one of the best games in my memory is Lazio away, where I thought he played absolutely outstanding. And that goal was actually a proper world-class goal that he scored. So James Forrest will be, for us, one of the most underrated players, I think, in from what I can remember, you know, going and watching Celtic at Celtic Park and stuff, and he goes through huge periods where people want him gone completely. He's done at Celtic, he's a waste, blah blah blah, and then all of a sudden you wait maybe 6 months, and all of a sudden it's, oh my god, how have we ever managed to keep this player, blah blah blah, and I'm unbeatable and all this stuff. I just think he's going to go down to that type of player where he's going to have huge peaks and troughs in his career, and it seems to really benefit from having competition next to him and stuff. And, you know, he's getting into that sort of golden years, I guess, as a football player in his career and stuff. But I think the fact that he's got through to a testimonial, which I have really not gone to that many, so I can't think of... Scott Brown, I think it was the last one I remember off the top of my head. But, yeah, honestly, I think he's going to be a really underrated... So it's great for me.
I find that hilarious, John, that you're calling him an underrated Celtic great.
Yeah, it's like an oxymoron, isn't it? Yeah.
It's not just that, though. He's got a testimonial, and he's one of only three players in the club's history of 125 years or whatever it is that the club's been around. He's one of three players that has got over 100 goals and 100 assists for the club.
Yeah.
Who are the other two? Let's see if you guys can know them. Willie will know them.
Henrik Larsson will be one, surely. Right?
Henrik Larsson is one, and the other one is the greatest Celtic player ever. He's voted the greatest Celt. Jinky.
Jimmy Johnson.
There you go.
They're the only two. So that shows...
like elite class that he's in.
You're saying he's underrated, but that when you look at that, as soon as you said that, I'm like, get on the phone. Look up.
He's certainly not underrated by myself, by the way. I think he's underrated by a big portion of the support.
11 league titles, 5 Scottish Cups, 6 League Cups. I mean, he's got quite the medal haul there. And you look at the Champions League qualifiers. We played Rosenborg at 0-0, and he popped up with a winner to put us into the playoff. All right, we lost to AIK. Was it AIK? Athens, yeah. And he scored the winner in the playoff round against Shakhtar Karagandy as well. So that was a very, very big goal that got us into the Champions League guy under Neil Lennon. So
there was also one where he scored there's one where he scored a vital goal against Maribor as well, but I can remember that one. He's always one of those guys for us that him and Neil Bitton for me. We mentioned him a few times on tonight's pod, but those two were the guys that in the qualifiers, they were always like they popped up and did something well for the club. And then so he was always one of those guys that was great for us early on in the season. But yeah, to get his testimonial, have a career where he's one of only three with 100 goals and 100 assists for the club, is a club legend. And I don't think this current generation of fans that we're all part of, like the younger ones and that coming through, who have seen Henrik play, who have seen Jinky play, us current lot, this guy is someone that in 20 years' time, we will all look back on and go, wow, look at his medal haul, look at his goals, look what he's done. He's at, as you said, John, he's underrated, but at the same time, it's such an oxymoron to say that with what he's done for the club.
Mm-hmm. I think that's a really good point. And what I say to John is that he's underrated, and he shouldn't be, but he's underrated now. And I think to your point, Jared, as time goes on, his legacy and what he achieved at ProMedic, what he achieved at Celtic will continue to grow. Like his status and his stature among the fans will continue to grow. So, but yeah, even in the league, if you're not a couple of seasons ago, a game out at St Johnstone where he scored the four goals, like he was unplayable that day. He was tremendous in the wet. So, but yeah, his legacy won't be defined necessarily right now. As time goes on in 20 or so years' time, as you said, Jared, he's going to be in that upper echelon.
It's also one last thing I want to say on that is he's the sort where you get these club legends, right, or guys who haven't even achieved what he's achieved, but they're classified as club legends because they go out on the sorry, Mickey Moynihan's comments just throw me.
Mental, because it was literally what I was thinking. I was about to say it. I was going to say it. And all that with no neck.
Back to what I was saying, like, he's the sort where I think once he retires, he's just going to go away. Like, because he's such a quiet person. You don't hear from him. You don't hear any controversy. You don't hear him on doing many interviews. You don't see him doing much. He seems like the sort where I can't really see him going out and doing the circuit, going all the CSCs and doing all that sort of stuff. But it might surprise me. But he's a sort that I think once he retires, he'll just happily go do his thing.
Yeah. Well, the final thing I would say on it from my perspective is if with the testimonial, I think this could potentially see Tom Rogic back in the hoops one final time.
Oh, yes, please.
Quite possible, yeah.
They're still close.
They're quite close, yeah. So I can absolutely see him fronting up for that testimonial we've invited.
It was mental that he moved on before getting his testimonial as well, to be honest.
Don't remind me.
and we say his name again, but Bitton was the exact same. Mental that both of them moved on before getting a testimonial. But
one season too soon, they both moved on for their testimonials.
Yep. So it would be good to see Rodri back in the hoops. Maybe even on a permanent basis. Who knows? Because he's just left.
Clickbait, everyone, clickbait.
You get me excited, Johnny. Stop it.
He's a free agent, maybe?
Shane's microphone's going to start leaning to it on a weird angle.
The desk just starts to rise. Yeah.
All right, so we'll crack on to the next topic here. So there's been some reports in the last week or two that Barrowfield is going to be redeveloped. We spoke about this last off-season. We did a ways to improve the club, what we'd do if we were like, you know, just chic, had crazy money, whatever, things that need to be improved around the club. And one of the things was doing up Barrowfield. So the reports are now that that's going to be done. And the talk is that they're going to redevelop it with a stadium built for the women and the B team to play at. The current this talk is, what is it, Willie? It's 6,000 seats that they're saying that they're going to bring in.
5,000 or so. But it's needed. Like, it's definitely needed because they're playing in Airdrie's Shibury Excelsior Stadium, which is, I think it's half an hour outside of the city centre of Glasgow, man. It's a 10,000 seater stadium, which is just slightly too big. You know what I mean? Even if you get a good crowd there, it might look a little bit on the lean side. So it's definitely needed. Like, it's definitely something they should be looking for, right? So 5,000 or 6,000 would be about the right sort of size for them, mate.
Yeah, so they've been talking about that sort of number. And for me, okay, the last few games where it's been end of the season, games being played at Celtic Park, you've had the, what are they calling it, the terrace at the end, all getting together behind the goals.
The Celtic end,
that's the one. I didn't want to say the wrong name because there's, I know there's certain groups that don't get along within that. So it was like, so they got the Celtic end going on. So you've had all that sort of thing going on. You've been getting, like, there's been a record now set of like 14, 15,000 for the game on the weekend against Hearts. And then before that against Rangers, it was like a record set at 11,000 or something. So people are coming. But that, look at how much it's been advertised. Look at how much it's been promoted. And, you know, it's been at Celtic Park. Now, as you're saying, Willie, Airdrie Stadium is half an hour outside of Glasgow. You're not getting bigger crowds. Can you imagine getting that same setup with the Celtic end going to watch a B team game on a Tuesday night when it's pissing down rain and you're playing against, you know, some really crappy team at the bottom of the Lowland League that's had like two wins of the season? Do you really think you're going to get 11,000, 12,000 rocking up for that game? No. The women's game, similar scenario on a Wednesday night playing against, I don't know, Hamilton Accies or something like that, if they've got a women's team in there, playing against them, you're not going to get a massive crowd. You're only going to get massive crowds for the games against Sevco and the games against Glasgow City, let's be honest, and maybe Hearts. So all those other ones, you still need a place to play. And if we have to rent out Airdrie Stadium and play the money every time we're playing there for both those teams, it doesn't make sense when we can, you know, invest in Barrowfield, build up stadium, but then build it so it can be extended. So if you're building it for 6,000 seats, but there's a way to extend it so it gets to 10 or 12,000 in the future and you can forward plan it, then great. That's an asset that we own that we can use for both our B team and our women's team. But those big games, you can still play them at Celtic Park. The other games, you can go play them at Barrowfield. Perfect. In an ideal world, that's my view, is that's the best situation. What are your thoughts, Shane?
Yeah, you pretty much touched on exactly what I was going for, and even right at the end when you said it's got to be expandable. And that's the thing for me. I think what they've proposed initially, or, you know, what we've read, is pretty exciting. I think it's great to get it back to Barrowfield and to have it obviously much closer to Celtic Park, and not have to have the half an hour trek out there, which I think would, you know, improve crowd numbers as well. But yeah, I agree with you. I think what they've proposed is spot on initially, but with easy room to grow where needed, because, you know, women's football is growing. People have a much more vested interest in the B team and the academy teams and so forth. So I think there is potential for those crowds to push up, probably not always, but I think you might find there's some more games down the track, particularly with the women's, if they're playing in the Champions League and so forth, that might exceed that capacity, but then might not necessarily warrant it being played at Celtic Park. So, look, totally on board with it. I think it's an exciting development, and I think what they've got as spot on so far, just make sure it can be expanded where needed.
Johnny, what's your thoughts, mate?
Totally agree. And I think you raise a very good point, Jared, about the economics of it. Like, I'm sure it's not quite equivocal, but renting out another stadium over the course of however many years might actually add up to, maybe this is starting to make some financial reason to actually build our own or develop what we've already got and stuff. And I think that's probably a factor that's come into this. But I also think a major factor is, I don't know about all of you, but in the last 2-3 years, maybe a bit longer. We're genuinely starting to care about the Surrey women's team. So we're following the results and we're wishing them success and we're starting to know the players and stuff. And that's actually a really big step for world football. And I think that's a really good step. And I think we touched on this pre-season, Jared, but the most ideal would be to make sure that on the maybe away games when you're not going to get as many Celtic fans to actually watch live is to also have a women's game on at the same time. So if you want to go watch live football and you want to watch Celtic, there's the opportunity to go watch it at Barrowfield and stuff and you know, maybe separate times where maybe a women's team finishes and then you go watch the men's team and or other way around or whatever, and the same with the B team, just to make, you know, the scheduling and fixtures a little bit more like you might just get one stadium emptying out and filling up the other one. That would be really good as well. You're not going to get everyone interested. You're not going to get every single person to go buy a season ticket or stuff or anything like that, but you know, enough to fill it. And that would be fantastic to see and stuff. And yeah, I think it's a great step for Celtic overall. And also, see, if we're a little bit selfish here, could be another revenue stream. And that's a big deal for the Celtic as a business, is to have more revenue streams.
Got a comment here from Mickey saying, small stadium with good crowds will condition upcoming players for the large atmospheres.
Yep, very true.
Yeah. Willie, you got any thoughts or anything you want to add before we jump into those stadiums that you sent through as a comparison?
No, I was just going to say that all the big clubs across Europe have a smaller stadium that they use for, they're off their own, that they use for their B teams and their ladies. Real Madrid, Barcelona, Man City, for example. They all have 7,000 seater stadiums there specifically for this thing. And if Celtic want to be an elite club, then it's something they'll need to push on with. And cost wise, we know we've got a bit of money in the bank. Why not? Now's the time. Speculate to accumulate, as they say. So yeah.
So basically, if the money sits in the bank and doesn't get the interest that you're getting paid on it, basically money's not improving with inflation. So you're better off spending it to get a stadium. So that one there is Real Madrid's B team stadium. That's 6,000 people stadium. If you're listening to the audio track, you need to go onto our YouTube channel. 32 minutes in, you'll be able to find the pictures that we're talking about. So that's Real Madrid's B team stadium for 6,000 seater.
That was 12 million in 2017 to build, like. So.
Yep. Then you got Barcelona's one there, the Estadi Johan Cruyff. That's another 6K seater for their B team. And you've got Ibar has this little 8,000 seater.
That's decent, like.
They're actually a La Liga side, like, so they're a full, that's the full men's side, but it's a small provincial club. It's like a Carlos of Spain or whatever, you know. So it's a small stadium, but it's a nice little stadium.
It's a little boutique stadium for them. Then you've got this one here is Xanthi Stadium. I think that's in Greece, if my memory is right.
Yeah. Yep.
7,000 seater, and that costs 6.5 million euros to build.
Look at all that parking.
Yeah.
I know. That's the sort of thing Celtic would probably look at, you know what I mean? Something along that lines. I would like to see, you know what I mean? Maybe more roofs over it, like, but
yeah,
nice green stadium, basic. You've got the open end of the goal there. I mean, you could easily roll in a stage, hire out for concert venues or whatever, you know.
God, you should work for marketing.
Put some sauce bottles there. All the Central Coast fans in Australia will know what's up.
Yeah, I do know what you mean.
And then you've got Man City's Academy Stadiums. This is a 5,000-seated stadium, but with all the other seats that they've got for corporates and stuff, it's a 7,000 total.
Yeah. Geez, that looks nice.
That does look good.
It's pretty cool.
If you're going to spend money and build a new stadium, you'd want to do something a bit like that, wouldn't you?
That looks good. Yeah.
And now there's one. There's also one that Willie sent through here, which is a bit bigger. It's an 11,000 seater, which is Maribor Stadium.
Yeah, that's a Ljudski Vrt. I've been there. I went to see Celtic play there in a pre-season friendly. It's a cracking little stadium. Like, you know what I mean? If you could sort of decrease the size of it, it would be something like you would like. You know what I mean? It's a really nice stadium. Nice atmosphere inside it. Like.
The reason I brought that up is because that stadium there is actually larger than two of the Premier League stadiums for the next season.
Yeah.
So down in the EPL, you've got Luton Town coming up with Kenilworth Road, 10,356 people, and the Vitality Stadium, say Bournemouth, is currently 11,307 people. So this is about the same size as Bournemouth Stadium. So that's where I was saying before, if you got something and you built something that was like up to 6,000 seats, that could easily be extended to get it up to 10 to 12, then you're laughing. And eventually, if things grow, you do it. If things don't grow, no big deal. Unless you know the stadium is the skill set that you've got. So for me, I think there's plenty of options there that we could be using. So, yeah, we'll get back to looking at Willie's face now that his camera's back on again.
Keep the stadiums up is better.
I know. Get the old get back to looking at Willie. I don't know if that's going to get us playing.
Yeah. Hey, at least I said get back to looking at Willie, not looking at his Willie.
Yeah.
Here's anyway, the tagline.
RL77 to be renamed the Ange Postecoglou Arena.
Yep.
Yeah.
And if he wins the treble first. Now show us Western United Stadium. Have they started it yet?
They have. They have. And it should be ready soonish.
Yeah, Mickey, Luton's VAR camera's in some old woman's kitchen.
She is the VAR. What are you talking
about? Yeah.
All right, so Shane, I'm going to...
a little cart will walk past or something.
Look, Shane, his cat walks across the screen. brilliant. All right, Shane, I'm going to throw this next one to you. beIN Sport over here is no longer being shown on Foxtel or KO, which means we're not going to have access to the Scottish Premier League on our pay TV over here, the main way to do it. How does that impact Australian fans? I know this one's something that you wanted to talk about, so over to you, mate.
Yeah, so for just to give a bit of context over here, we've got pay TV broadcast service or pay TV in terms of Foxtel. And it's as like part Sky. Of that, they have...
Same as Sky.
Yeah, exactly, same as Sky.
Sky or Virgin or BT is the same, that kind of.
And as part of that, they have a set of sport channels on there, and one of them that they would broadcast is beIN Sports. And the reason that's important, as Jared pointed to, is beIN Sports actually broadcast select games from the Scottish Premiership, but they'd also broadcast games from the respective Scottish Cup competitions throughout the season. And look, for most people in Australia, I'm talking for clubs and pubs and so forth, a lot of them would be set up to have an agreement with or Foxtel in place, and they would use that to get other sporting channels and then have beIN Sports as part of that to be able to show Celtic games. Same with their punters as well who have Foxtel. And KO Sports is the kind of the streaming service based off of Foxtel. So it's essentially the same channels, but it's a streaming service where you can just stream the sport channels. So the reason this is a pretty big impact is a lot of people will be using Foxtel and KO to get beIN to watch Celtic games and to watch other games in the Scottish Premiership. So with this connection between them ceasing, which I think is in July or so forth this season, what it potentially means is that for people to continue to watch Celtic going forward, particularly at domestic level, is unless something changes and beIN... Well, there's actually two options. beIN offers a connection themselves, so they have an app where you can actually subscribe directly to their channels, and assuming they're still continuing with the rights for the Scottish Premiership games, you'd still be able to see them if you subscribe to their service. But the other alternative, of course, will be to sign up to Celtic TV. So we could, as part of this, I see you, Johnny, we could, as part of this, see an influx of people, particularly in Australia, signing up to Celtic TV, which would be interesting. And I would significantly hope that things could improve if we're going to see that influx, and would hope to see that in place irrespective of whether that influx comes or not. So, yeah, that's the state of play at the moment. If you're going to need to do one of those two things to watch Celtic domestically next season at this point in time.
I'll just take a punt here in case anyone at the club's watching. Celtic TV, create a, you know, an Australian version of an app or something for all of us over here. Celtic Down Under volunteer to do your pre-game, post-game coverage. You know, it will be colourful language, though. I will tell you, we will not filter ourselves. But, you know, get involved. You know you want to. You want to see Shane on there all the time, not knowing is it going to be beard Shane or no beard Shane each week.
We're going to use the word mate a lot. You're going to have to work out in what context, but we're going to use
mate. Whether we're angry or happy at you. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Celtic TV is rotten. I'm for years, me and Jared have been subscribing for a long time, and I gave up the beginning of the season. It won't happen. You'll get more people who will sign up for being as a direct service rather. And what I'm hoping is somebody like Fox Sport, whoever it is, just buys the rights off being, is what I'm hoping.
Let us know in the comments how you watch the games. Legally, of course.
Yeah. Yes. The legal services. That's right. We've all seen the big court case.
We've got Andrew Galea is, it's going to have to be Celtic TV, RL77. I signed up for beIN Sports when it cancelled. I still somehow get access. Shh, don't tell anyone. Our old chemist, I got Zitrix Plus, Extra Plus, or whatever, Celtic TV on it and everything else. That could be a good one. beIN Sports, Channel 3 is pay per view. And
could be a better idea.
Over here, if you're in Australia and you want to know how we do it, send an email to admin@celticdownunder.com and I'll let you know the way we do it and help you out. So happy to help everyone over this side of the world.
Endorse all the legal and correct channels, obviously.
I can only do two people per week, though. But, yeah, send us an email and I'll hook you all up as quickly as I can.
It's certainly a better service than Celtic TV ever gives, to be honest. And that's by the way, remember, they spent multi-millions during the pandemic years to upgrade their services as well, and you still get audio outages and loss of signal, and goals are scored at crucial games and you've missed the entire 20 minutes of
no on-demand to watch it. So say if you accidentally fall asleep on the couch watching the game, like I've been guilty of a couple of times when we're playing Ross County or St. Johnson or some boring game, you try to watch it on Celtic TV and you can't.
Like 24 hours.
You got to wait ages, where the one we do is a good one. Yes, Kaiser, I see your comment. We've spoken about this on Twitter in the past, and I agree. Get a Celtic Global app, 10 quid a month, stop these multiple subscription thing. Perfect, wouldn't it?
Yep.
That's what we're missing. That's what we need.
Yeah, I mean, Liam's not here, but he could talk to his blue in the face about the services he gets in Japan. And it's the amount of production involved in a fraction of the cost and stuff. And I think I actually watched a video recently, because the court case I was referring to is, I'm sure we've all seen those boys getting put in jail and stuff for doing nefariously illegal things. There was an American on it, and he said he's $5 a month, and he gets every single, I don't think he was talking about American football, something like that, or every single baseball game, $5 a month, and he gets everything. And we're having to spend, I think it was like $38 or something for a month for shit service from Soto TV. It's pathetic.
Kaiser's saying here, J-League is free to watch on YouTube every Saturday. And the thing for me, like I look at it and go, okay, so Soto TV is expensive and you get a couple of games. And I've said this a few times. If they build an app like what Kaiser was saying, and you didn't just have the current games, but if you had on that app, you could watch the B team games, the women's games on demand. You could watch all our previous games from the season on demand and the live games. If you could get like historical games. So on this day, and they bring up a game that happened on that date in the club past and put that up as something to watch. So there was always constant games being shown on the app, and there was always something on. Man United on their TV channel, that's because they had that as part of EA Sports and Fox Love, they had Man United TV, Chelsea TV, Arsenal TV, Liverpool TV. They had those channels on here as well. And you have a look on there, and if there's no game on, then they have an hour-long sit-down interview with someone who used to play for them. And then the thing after that is, then there's like a half-hour little show, a preview show for the weekend. Then it's another sit-down with a former player or former manager, or reviewing a deep dive, like a half-hour thing, reviewing a former game with an ex-player who played the game. And it's just like little things like that on the production. Amazing. And I would happily pay the money that Celtic TV want if that was involved. But when that's not involved, I don't want to pay $38 or $50 a month to watch that when I can get it for 32 quid for the year for pretty much all that for the top flight, which is what I'm currently paying. Doesn't make sense. I'd rather pay more and put the money into the club.
Me too.
The one thing I do want to say, though, is if they're going to open up and do look at others, like Kevin Mullen, get Amazon involved and we can watch every Celtic game on it, that would be perfect.
That would be a great way to watch it.
The thing for me is Paramount Plus over here for the A-League. Their pre-match coverage, post-match coverage, halftime coverage, all that stuff is great. But when the games are on, the coverage you get from Paramount Plus of the actual football, with you see a couple of shadows on the ground because you're not sure where the ball is, or it's buffering all the time, or there's always problems with it. Two seasons in, it's an absolute nightmare.
Yeah.
So you've got to have, you can have all the bells and whistles around it. It's like a complete opposite of what you get for Celtic TV. Celtic TV, you get the game and it seems decent to watch most of the time, but you get no production around it. Paramount Plus, all the production around it, nothing on the game. And on the games, there's no pause button and there's no rewind button. So if you've got to go for a piss and you're like, oh, there's only, you know, half time, I'll catch up. I don't mind if the game's like a minute late. Flip my phone over so I get no notifications. Pause, go to the toilet, come back, play. No, you can't do any of that.
Yeah, it's not good enough. Yeah.
It's got to be a way to do it.
I just don't think they care.
You know what? And this is the thing for me. I think Celtic has such a wide-ranging appeal across the world that if you could find something that is consistent across the globe, a service or a streaming platform that everyone can use, and that's the thing. It's got to be easily usable for everybody, both end users at MyCap, CSC, or people hosting it. But because of our global reach, I reckon there's a really big opportunity there.
Totally agree. And it's unique as well, because we're like elite in the sense of our history and but maybe not on football and prowess, but we're not in that category of the Man Uniteds and the Real Madrids, but we have the same global market, right? Mm. We have, I think it's like 10 million Celtic fans worldwide, something like that. And that's outside of the UK and Ireland, 10 million. So that's a big number if you add up however many. If you try and get, you know, 60% of that, that could be if you've done it properly, you could actually get some money there. And it's completely undervalued, personally. I don't know. I mean, maybe it's too small. I don't know. Maybe it's too small.
If you've got a really good service, you don't mind paying for it. To us who live overseas, this is our season ticket. You know what I mean? You're not going to throw aside season ticket holders' opinions at the stadium. I mean, to us, this is what we give our... This is our chance to give money to the club for a decent service, but we're not getting that decent service at present.
And yeah.
As much as Tom Boyd is a club legend, he's not.
Hopeless. You know, he was. I mean, that he was the one of the biggest reasons it was quite hard to cancel my subscription, because he is entertaining. That's because.
But he's not. Yeah. It's just like penalty. No, Tom, that's our.
It's a throw in, Tam. It's a throw in.
All right, guys, what we'll do is we'll leave that topic there. We've got 5 minutes of the show left, so let's get into the preview of the Scottish Cup final. So Sean sent through some stats to us, so thought we'll go through them. So our all-time record in the Scottish Cup against Inverness Cully Thistle is we played 6, 3 wins, no draws, 3 losses. Our record at Hampden is played 1, 1 loss. Now, some other stats there. We have won 10 out of the last 23 Scottish Cups since 2000. Teams that have knocked us out in the other 13, St Mirren once, Hearts once, Ross County and Clyde once, Rangers once, Aberdeen twice, Sevco three times, Inverness three times. So to start off, are Inverness our Scottish Cup bogey team, Shane?
It sounds like it, unfortunately. It's hard to argue with the stats, but we haven't played them for a little while, so it's a good opportunity to set that record straight this time. But yeah, you can't argue with figures, mate.
Okay, so basically looking at that, for me, I look at it and go, okay, let's fix things up here. We've got Ange in, we've been playing weekly. They haven't played in a month. As Michael Ross, he's just basically took out what I was about to say, we owe Inverness a doing. So what I'd like to do is we'll go to you, Willie. What's your expected starting lineup for the game?
Hart, Taylor, Starfelt, Awata, AJ, Rio Hatate, Kalmak, O'Reilly, Jota, Maeda, Kiogo.
Any changes there, Johnny or Shane?
Nah, I would say that's pretty much spot on. Maybe you might. I wouldn't be shocked if we saw Kobayashi instead of Awata. No disrespect to Kelly here, but it's not quite a given. We won't be arrogant here, but I wouldn't say that Kobayashi's in for a difficult game.
Maybe Maeda could potentially be one up for debate. I think I love what he brings, but I think he struggled against teams that have sat really, really deep. And depending on what Kelly decide to do, if they decide to sit really deep, he might not be the right player to have on at that time. So that's one up for debate, but personally I'd probably pick him.
Yeah, I'm happy to go with whatever we think. I agree with Willie with the lineup there, so I'm happy we go with that. And yeah, it's going to be an interesting one. So, any particular matchups you want to look out for, or are you guys not really too worried in terms of that? And just want to get into the score and score predictions.
Yeah, I don't know a single Inverness player, to be honest. It's not a team that I follow well. I've got a couple of friends that are Inverness fans, so it'll be good to rub it in their face when it's the biggest loss in Scottish Cup final history. But I'm going to say it's going to be big. I think it's 5-0, something like that, to be honest. I think Kyogo gets a hat trick for me.
I'm going to say 4-0, and I reckon Kalmak gets the first goal.
Oh, that'd be good.
Willie?
7-0 for me. And I think the matchup to watch out for is Kyogo and O at the end of the game fighting over the match ball. Because we're just going to get
I keep saying it. We're due 10. It's going to happen.
Yeah. That would be incredible. Yeah.
It will happen. It's going to happen, yep. We'll be smashing them. If I look distracted, I'm just trying to get something up to finish the pod with, but there we go. So, yeah, for me, I think it's going to be 1 week. First goal scorer for me will be Jota, and, yeah, win. Realistically, as long as we win is the main thing, but we owe them a doing, as we said, and it's going to be a hopefully we can get that 10 that we've been talking about for two seasons now. But other than that...
That had to have been a record. That was true. It would... I don't know what the biggest loss in a cup, Scottish Cup final is, but... What is it? It must be something like 4-0 or something like that, but... Yeah. So any sort of extra record would be fantastic, but... 10 would just be a laugh, wouldn't it?
Yep, 100%. All right, so let's get to our final thoughts. So, Shane, what's your final thought?
Final thought is this weekend sees the grand final of the A-League, Melbourne City versus Central Coast Mariners in Parramatta. Melbourne City should be hosting this game. It should be in Melbourne. the sooner that people realise this is a silly deal and gets undone, the better for the league as a whole.
It's bloody stupid, that. Johnny, final thought?
Final thought, music as always. Went to a couple of gigs recently, so I have two music suggestions. I always think it's nice when I go watch a big band to maybe recommend the starting lineup. Bands that are sort of up and coming and sort of that. So my first one is a band from Melbourne, you guys neck of the woods. They're called Between You and Me. If you like sort of the 2000, maybe 2010s sort of, rock music, maybe indie rock, skater rock stuff, they're very in that vein. Sum 41, Blink 182, that sort of stuff. Super high energy. Haven't seen a Circle Pit in a long time, so I was very glad I was on the outside of that, but it was interesting to see. And then the other one, brand new band, actually, 2021. They started, Brisbane Meanjin based, Dusty, female lead vocals, very, very sort of Spider Bait-esque. They're also fantastic, so give those guys a listen.
Willie?
Wife's going away for a girls' weekend this weekend, so pray for my sanity as I sit here alone with my two kids.
I was going to say something, Willie, and then you said your kids are there, and I'm like, anyway, okay, for me, got to go. Origin's about to start. Go Queensland. Last thing I wanted to do was just share this because what a legend.
Hail, hail.
See you next week.
Hail, hail.
Hail, hail. Hail, hail.